podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Midwest Madness Podcast, your home for men's and women's Big 12 hoops. I'm Chrissy Butterfield, and it's finally here. Bracketology is serious. The brackets have come out. And before I even get into what I think, my reactions, and our guest for today, I have to get through this rant because I am livid right now. I'm absolutely livid because, as you guys all know, this is my favorite time of the year. This is my Christmas, right? Like, March Madness is my Christmas. And a Grinch came in and stole the thunder of the brackets being released. I'm not even going to say his name, because if you know, you know. But he came in with a big announcement talking about a sport that is completely out of season, completely irrelevant to me and to a lot of people right now, as we're gearing up for the NCAA tournament on both the men's and women's side. And he just came in with this jackass announcement yesterday during the middle of Selection Sunday, and I was pissed. I said, how dare you take away the thunder of the matchups? Because this is something I look forward to every year. It's something that I love discussing and contemplating whenever I put together my brackets. And I watch as many games as possible so that when this time comes, I can talk about as many matchups intelligently as I can. And I feel like all of the attention has now been taken away from March Madness and given to this man talking about how he's going to be coming back. And I'm like, oh, this is not what I needed to start my Monday morning. All I want to talk about is basketball, and nobody else seems to be concerned. So you know what? I'm pissed, but it's okay, because before we get started with today's episode, just wanted to say that Home Field Apparel is now doing mystery boxes, which is so exciting because you're going to get a very good discount on a lot of good quality shirts. You will get 3 t-shirts for only $45. Mystery box will be sent to you, and there will be 7 different options that you can choose from, and even some combo boxes too, so you can mix and match, do a bunch of fun things. So it's going to be at a huge discount for you guys, but be sure to use code MIDWEST12 in checkout. We got the bad vibes out of the way. Now for the best vibes. It's March Madness. It's finally here. I'm so excited to get to talk to you guys about all the matchups that are going to be happening in the first round of 64, the play-in games, and who I think is going to make the Final Four. And I'm going to be doing all of that with Blake Lavelle, who covers the SEC for 14 Southeastern. He's just an incredible mind. He really knows his stuff, especially when it comes to basketball. And we're just going to discuss this bracket, give our reactions, and talk about the best event of the entire sporting year right now. So we'll go ahead and get into it. Okay, Blake, how are you doing? Give us all of your initial reactions to this bracket, because I think there were some surprises. What do you think?
Yeah, Christine, I think that like you, we have been very busy here recently, and it's gotten even busier because of this bracket, because instead of just talking about the games, I think there's a lot of stuff you have to talk about in terms of the seeding and those things. I mean, I'm not just saying this as the SEC guy, you know, someone who obviously follows a lot of stuff with the work I do for Blue Ribbon as an editor and all that. But if I just go to the SEC for a second, I mean, Tennessee is a 3, was just one of the most, I don't even know how you justify it. I mean, all the numbers speak for themselves.
You can't justify
it. I think that's
it.
Something you can't. And I think Duke should not have been a 2. Tennessee should not have been a 3. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty easy swap there, but apparently not for the committee. So that is one that certainly stands out. I mean, to be honest, you could pick apart some of the things elsewhere, but what I think we clearly learned is the conference tournament games that were played on Sunday, essentially, even maybe more than that, I mean, even the weekend games, perhaps, did not mean a whole lot. And I can't say I'm shocked by that, because I think that's just what the committee usually does. But I think you also, if you're going to ignore it, why play them? Like, why even do the conference tournament games if you're going to ignore that to the extent that I think that they probably did? Same thing with Tennessee and some of these other teams. So I'm not gonna rant for an hour here, but I will tell you there were some issues that not just me, but many others had with Tennessee, I think. So
yeah, I was a little bit shocked to see that they were a 3 seed. I think like, if I'm Arizona, I'm upset that I'm in a bracket with a three seed like Tennessee, because that's going to be tough. And you can make the argument, obviously, for Tennessee being the two seed over Duke, even Tennessee being the two seed over Villanova, I think is a conversation people can have. But, you know, more than likely, Tennessee is going to end up in the Elite Eight. So not really losing a bunch there. I think it'd be interesting to see if it's an Arizona-Tennessee matchup. That could be fun. But yeah, I knew that Coach K was going to get that bump just because this is his last season. So I'm not necessarily too shocked that Duke ended up getting the second seed. But like you said, I have often thought that the conference tournament games don't really mean much unless those bubble teams make a really good run. That's the only way it affects seeding. So I knew that teams like Baylor wasn't going to get affected by how they played. I knew that Texas Tech, Kansas were going to be a lock at where they were at. So yeah, I don't really see the big purpose. And I know that a lot of people now are saying that Texas A&M playing on Sunday ended up not mattering because obviously it didn't affect any of the seeding and they didn't make it in. Do you think that they now need to move that last tournament game to Saturday to see if that'll affect the seeding more, just because there's more time to think about that last game?
Yeah. John Calipari, I think, said it last night, and there's always the joke in the SEC that anytime John Calipari speaks, you can pretty much guarantee that something's going to get changed, because the SEC doesn't play the Thursday night conference games anymore. And he was very against that. And what do you know, it got taken out of the league. So maybe Cal speaking will get that change in the SEC. He said he'd prefer just to play it on Saturday and be done with it. I'm all for that, because like you said, clearly current, you know, SEC member, former Big 12 member, Texas A&M, got nothing out of this. And I get it. And there are people trying to defend this for the committee, which I think that's always weird, isn't it? That people are trying to defend the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee. I don't know why anyone would take on that that job. I think that they get paid plenty of money, folks, to do their job, and they
don't need
us.
To defend them. No.
No. So I always think that's weird. You know, the thing with A&M I've seen a lot is, well, they lost 8 games in a row. All right, Christine, let's play this game. If Duke loses 8 games in a row, but it was a month and a half ago, and they still win 23 games, I think Duke's probably getting in.
I hate to keep going back to Duke here. Yeah.
It's just, you can't tell me the only reason they didn't get in is because they lost 8 in a row. That's just not going to work. So
I think it's an easy excuse they're using. I do think, like, I don't know if Duke is the best comparison, but Duke obviously is going to have one of those, like, they have a huge history behind them. So if they lose 8 games, they're still going to get the benefit of the doubt. But a team like A&M, I think the committee was easier to write off. And I cannot believe that Notre Dame got in over A&M or over Oklahoma. And more so than this, so after the bracket was announced, they said, you know, like, oh, here's our 4 replacement teams if, you know, there's a COVID breakout or whatever. And they had Oklahoma as the second replacement team and Texas A&M as the 4th.
Yeah.
I was a little bit surprised by that. I thought that Texas A&M should have been the first if that's what they were going to do. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that was you brought up. It's like, I even forgot about that at this point. I'm like, oh yeah, that happened. I forgot that they were the 4th team out. They weren't even close, basically.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma, like you said, they're the other team that, I guess the good thing for you is we don't have a lot of ACC fans hopefully listening to this podcast, so we can just rail on them all we want here.
Yeah, let's go, because they are like the worst basketball conference this year. Like, it has not been a good year for the ACC, and I will sit on my throne and say that, because I firmly believe that. Like, look at where North Carolina's ranked. Like, that should goes to show how low they've been playing this year. So anyway, sorry, you go ahead.
No, my point was what you said. I like Mike Bray. I love the job he's done at Notre Dame over the years, but I just didn't think that they had the resume to support getting in over. I mean, really, like you said, you could even compare it to Oklahoma and some of the things they did, certainly A&M, and I mean, I know Wyoming's the other team that people are going to talk about, but I don't want to say this like the wrong way, but like, I don't have a problem with Wyoming getting in. Like, I think that's one of those teams that, look, they're going to have limited options for who they can play in the non-conference. We always know that. But I mean, they did a good job in a tough Mountain West. And so I don't even have a huge issue with Wyoming being in there. But I mean, I guess the other thing people were pointing out was like Michigan being a team that's not even in Dayton. And I think I expected that, but I don't know. Like, I'm trying not to be this guy that's like, well, the committee's certainly going to look at the Big Ten and the ACC, and you never know. But that's just kind of how it feels sometimes, I guess. So,
yeah, I totally understand that. I don't mind Wyoming either, so that's not really a big point of reference for me. I'm still stuck on Notre Dame. You know, I don't know if I'm going to get over that. And I'm looking at this Rutgers-Notre Dame matchup, and I just know that Rutgers has been getting some really impressive wins lately that I think Rutgers is just going to easily overtake Notre Dame. And who knows what's going to happen with that Alabama matchup, but what are your thoughts on that one specifically?
Yeah, I think Rutgers is a team that I would never love to play. So just based on how they play defense, and certainly they're going to make teams work on offense. And I think that's a big thing. And so I'm with you. I would certainly probably pick Rutgers in this game against Notre Dame. I just think they're more tested. And again, if you want to play Big Ten versus ACC, I don't think it's even close in terms of the gauntlet that's played in those conferences this year. So I would give Rutgers the edge. I mean, after that, it's like, take your pick on Alabama. I have no idea. They are the most confusing team I've seen in a long time. Not just in the SEC, but like nationally. You have no idea what you're going to get out of them ever on any given night. They could go out and beat Gonzaga. They could come out and lose to Georgia, who won, of course, one game in the SEC this year. And that was against Alabama. So I don't love it. I mean, here's the thing. No matter who advances, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think they got a shot against Texas Tech. So take any of these three teams you want, Alabama, Rutgers, Notre Dame. I think they're all terrible matchups against Texas Tech, just because Alabama turns the ball over like crazy. And as we know, mm-hmm. Texas Tech plays a little defense for those who are not aware. But I think Texas Tech got a great draw here, honestly. And we talked about Duke. Like, I think if you're Texas Tech, you have to be thrilled with how that bracket plays out at the bottom.
Oh, absolutely. If I'm Mark Adams, I'm like, guys, we can really make a run here. Like, not like he's not going to say that if he felt like it was going to be tough, but I think this is a time to really fall into what Texas Tech is believing in, because like, you look at their matchups, they're obviously going to beat Montana State. I think, like you said, if it's Rutgers or Alabama, I think they can both overtake them, unless both of the teams just end up being so hot from three that, you know, Texas Tech can't compete. But then you look at the other side, and you got Michigan State, who will probably end up playing against Duke in the 32. And I really like that upset personally, just because Duke has not been playing well lately, like we've already talked about. So it could go either way, but I think that Texas Tech has a really good shot at going to the Elite Eight this year, at least. Then they'll be going against Gonzaga, or Arkansas, whatever. But I really like Texas Tech's chances this year. I don't know about this Baylor bracket, though. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that was the one I was looking at yesterday, and I think I've heard a lot of people maybe calling that the toughest one. I go back and forth, I guess, on that one, and I'm trying to think of, like, the South seems tough to me, just because those top three seeds, like you said earlier, I mean, just having Arizona, Villanova, and Tennessee, who feels like a number two seed in there, that seems like a tough bracket to me. But I look at this East, and I'm like, I could find, realistically, if you're not picking Baylor, you could pick Kentucky, you could pick Purdue, you could even make the case for Texas, I think, UCLA. I mean, St. Mary's has beaten Gonzaga. That's just that there's so many different possibilities, I think, that could come out of this bracket. But I mean, we talked about North Carolina. Like, I think Baylor, I don't want to say cruises into the Sweet 16, but I think it's pretty favorable for them against either North Carolina or Marquette. After that, I think is where it gets interesting, because, you know, UCLA, good team. You know, maybe it is St. Mary's. Like we said, we've seen what they're capable of. So this is like probably to me, maybe this is the best way to put it. I think this may be the most unpredictable part of the bracket, just because, not to say that Baylor doesn't make a run, but I don't know what to expect from some of these other games. Like, really, I think Kentucky is not feeling great right now, because and I always say this, I hate how the committee does this every year. They do it every year, and they act like there's some way to justify this, but they put Murray State and San Francisco against each other. Why not put them, why not split them up so both teams have a chance to advance instead of putting USC against Miami on the other side? Like, they do this all the time. Why put the mid-majors against each other? That way only one advances, but put them against the other guys. Let them go beat USC and Miami and do that, you know? So I think that's a tough draw for Kentucky, though, in the second round. I mean, Murray State's 30-2.
I like Murray State a lot. I do.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you saw Kentucky not shooting the ball well recently, and if they don't shoot the ball well, they can get beat by a lot of teams, and I don't love that for the Cats, so.
Yeah, I don't either. I do kind of see them turning it on in the Big 12. I mean, not Big 12, what am I saying? The NCAA tournament, though. But like we were getting into, I think this is just such an unpredictable part of the bracket. I like Mount St. Mary's. I like, honestly, I like Virginia Tech to beat Texas. I really, really like that upset. Just based on how Virginia Tech has been looking lately. Texas going out in the first round of the Big 12 tournament definitely wasn't great. It was a close game with TCU, but at the same time, that's not a good look for, you know, a mid-ranked team in the Big 12. So on the lower half of the bracket with, I guess it doesn't really matter because they'll probably be playing Purdue and losing that game anyway. But I really like that Virginia Tech upset.
I could see that. I mean, I think Virginia Tech, like Mike Young at Virginia Tech, he's going to get a lot of coaching love. I know I've already had people text me like, hey, you, like I've heard some rumors that, you know, he could wind up at Florida. I'm thinking, well, that's certainly be interesting, but he's a good coach. And like you said, Texas, I just think the way they played maybe down the stretch here, I mean, coming into it, losing three in a row and those kind of things. That's a good point. I mean, I guess if I would say one thing is we certainly know Chris Beard knows his way around the NCAA tournament. So if he could, you know, turn it on here, I don't think it would surprise any of us if they made a run. But that bottom part of the bracket, I don't know if this is the toughest region, but I think it's probably the most unpredictable. I think I've settled on that because I think there's so many different matchups you could get coming out of the East.
Yeah, I agree too. I think it's just more unpredictable, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's the most difficult. I think Arizona's is pretty tough, but I also think that Kansas's bracket leaves room to be interesting because I really see this Kansas-Iowa matchup being one that people are circling right now.
Yeah, Iowa, needless to say, has looked really good here, playing some good basketball. And I think, you know, because let's say this too, Providence, I think, someone told me this last night, and I don't know if this is right, but I think Providence was like only a 2-point favorite over South Dakota State. I mean, that's a 4-13 game.
I'm telling you right now, Providence is probably one of the easiest 4 seeds in this bracket. So that's not going to be that difficult, I think, for Iowa.
I tell you, this is, it's an interesting setup for sure, because like even if South Dakota State beats Providence, I think Iowa and Kansas are just marching right along and pretty much already setting up, a matchup there. And of course, geographically, that's fun to think about, but I'm with you. Like, I don't really see a lot that's going to change my mind on putting Kansas and Iowa in that game. And then I guess if you go to the bottom part, I think Auburn's draw was fine, but I would worry a little bit about that second round game against USC if I'm Auburn, because I mean, that is a team that's got, you know, some tools, I think, that could make things difficult for Auburn. Of course, Auburn struggled. Hadn't played their best, but I don't know if struggle is the right word, but they certainly haven't played their best basketball away from home recently. And that is something with USC size, you know, you got Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler, 2 6'10", 7'1" guys in there for Auburn. USC can kind of match that with some of the size they're going to have. So, but really, I think if Auburn gets past that, I'll be honest with you, Christine, I don't love Iowa State's matchup with LSU, even though LSU is now coachless. I think LSU is one of those teams that just plays so good of defense that I would not love to play them right now. And maybe, you know, there is a motivating factor just from having their coach out. And then Wisconsin, I don't know what to think of Wisconsin. I mean, I think they're good. I think they're really good, but I don't know. Like, that's an interesting part of the bracket at the bottom. I think the top, like you said, is a lot more predictable than the bottom. So,
Yeah, I on the LSU-Iowa State matchup, I think that one could go either way because Iowa State is one of the most, like, we talked about Alabama being hot and cold. Iowa State has been very hot and cold in their shooting. So I think it's really just going to depend on what kind of a shooting night Iowa State is having. If they're shooting well, then I think that they will beat LSU. And I'm sure someone's going to be like, that is the easiest analysis ever. But, well, seriously, I think that they both play defense so well that it'll just depend on how consistent Iowa State is shooting, because I think TJ Altelberger really has a good system in there right now. This Wisconsin team, don't really have a lot of thoughts because to be honest, like, I just don't see them making it past the Sweet 16, really, if they make it there. So for me, I don't think they're going to make a deep run. I'm not excited about this Wisconsin team. I think that they're an easier 3 seed. So don't have a lot of thoughts on that. I do really like this USC Miami game. I think that's going to be very interesting. And I honestly see Miami pulling ahead of USC just because they're so athletic and so quick in transition. And when you look at how tall this USC team is, I'm sure they're going to dominate the lane, but I don't know if they're going to keep up with Miami's pace.
Yeah. No, I think that's one of the better first round matchups. Like we said, I was, you know, talking about my frustrations with the committee, with maybe not splitting them up with Murray State and San Francisco, but this is going to give us a good game. There's no doubt about it. So I think, like you said, Miami's, they're fun to watch offensively. And I think that Charlie Moore and those guys, I mean, they're fun to watch. So that game could go either way. I think if you're Auburn, you're probably rooting for Miami because I just think that size, which is one of the advantages I think Auburn has, because they do have those two guys that I talked about. But you know, if you can get Miami, I think you match up better with them, because I don't think that's a great defensive team at times by any means, but you know, that they could match them offensively. So I think that's what I would look at with that. And I mean, hey, I'm looking at this now. I'm thinking, okay, Kansas, Iowa, great, confident, but
yeah,
everything at the bottom, I'm just like, I have no idea.
So, I really don't. I mean, I see Wisconsin going in, and then I don't know. And then it's like, I'm going to probably put Miami ahead of USC and then Auburn, but like that is that, what, 8 teams? That's a really unpredictable part of the bracket there. So before we get into Arizona's bracket, I just wanted to ask this, because at Big 12 Media Day this year, obviously this is after Scott Drew was coming off of a national championship, which is why I thought this was kind of funny, but also kind of cool that he was introspectively thinking of the Big 12 as a whole at this point. He said that he wants to see 3 Big 12 teams in the Final Four. I think that probably Texas Tech's road to that, as far as the top seeds go, is going to be the most difficult, because they're going to be facing Gonzaga probably, if all things work the way people would assume they would. But do you think this could happen this year, or do you think that they're probably another few years off from that?
I can't think of a better time to get more basketball apparel than March Madness. I mean, if you're not watching your favorite team make a deep run in the Big Dance without a nice, comfortable shirt from Home Field Apparel, I don't know what you're doing with your life, especially when it is third month media, especially when it is third month mania for Home Field Apparel, which means that you can get so much more discounts when your teams continue to win, and we'll announce those soon. But right now they have mystery boxes coming out, so you can go ahead and have 3 tees for $45. Also, you can combo mix your boxes, which is just so cool. You can have hoodies, t-shirts, whatever you want, and be sure to use code MIDWEST12 at checkout.
I would tell you right now, I would seriously consider putting Texas Tech in the Final Four, even though that's a tough road. I just think that they are, I mean, as we just haven't seen much of a drop off for them. Like, I don't know what we expected, I guess, when the coaching change happened, but I don't know if I expect them to be, certainly defensively, like, you know, you just kind of, I guess, anticipate some sort of drop off. But I think that is something we always talk about these tournaments, and I think they can absolutely get there. And like I said, I don't think Duke's a 2 seed. I would probably take Texas Tech to the Elite Eight right now. Then I think it's okay. Gonzaga could be tough, but I think they're right there with a chance to do it. as we said with like Baylor, I mean, it's like by default, I may pick Baylor just to win the East because it's, I don't know what else is going to happen. Like, I think it's just so unpredictable that I'm just thinking, man, I don't even know who, because I think Kentucky comes out of the bottom part, but I don't know that. And I think that's a tough thing. And like you said, I mean, certainly when we talk about Kansas, we talked about our confidence in that. I mean, I think if Kansas gets past Iowa, you know, you've got to like those kind of matchups for Kansas at the bottom, again, no matter who comes out of it, I think. So it's certainly possible. That's a good point, because I think it's absolutely possible. And like I said, I think Texas Tech is the one that, even as the 3 seed, I think they've got a real shot. It's just a matter of, you know, can you get by a Duke maybe, or can you get by Gonzaga? I think they get by Duke. I just think Gonzaga's the tough one there. So,
yeah, that's it for me. It's that Gonzaga matchup that I would be a little bit apprehensive about putting them ahead, but I think it's possible at this point just on how they've been playing. And I think that Red Raiders fans travel really well. So that'll be interesting to see. As far as Baylor's concerned, if they play Kentucky or Purdue, that one's going to be really rough. I think Purdue still could give them a really good matchup. I'm not sure about Kentucky at this point. I guess we'll have to see how they're playing in the tournament. But I think Kansas, if they get past Iowa, they should be able to. And again, this is all things playing out. If Kansas gets past Iowa, that Auburn-Kansas game should be really, really interesting.
Yeah, it would. And it's funny to think that that would be a Midwest rematch from what, 3 years ago, I guess that was in the Midwest region when those two played. I don't remember. Was that the second round game of the Sweet 16? Listen, as we've talked about before, I think the last 2 years, 3 years have felt like about a century. So I don't even remember what the matchup was then. But yeah, that would be a lot of fun because, I mean, Auburn got the best of Kansas the last time they played in the Midwest region. But I think this Kansas team, look, they're I keep thinking back and I feel like there was such a think back to the Kansas and Kentucky game. And, you know, we had talked before that or after that, I don't remember, but like there was such a big reaction to that game. And I'm still thinking at the time, I'm like, I don't think we look at Kansas and say, oh boy, what's going on with Kansas? Uh-oh. I think it was just Kentucky played so well. And clearly Kansas, they're a number one seed for a reason. And they've played really well, you know, down the stretch for the most part. I mean, TCU, I know, beat them and they lost that game at Baylor, but I'm still looking at this and probably having a hard time leaving Kansas out of the Final Four. So,
Okay. Spicy.
There you go.
So going into this last bracket, because we haven't really touched on it yet, besides obviously saying Tennessee is going to be terrible for anyone and Arizona has a rough road. Just looking at these matchups for those of you that don't have the bracket out, like, no one does. Arizona is probably going to be going ahead to the second round. Then you have Seton Hall and TCU, which I think will be a very fun first round game. You have Houston and UAB, Illinois and Chattanooga, Colorado State, Michigan, Tennessee going to be going ahead. Iowa State, Loyola, Chicago, which should be also interesting. And then you have Villanova as the 2 seed. It's just simply stated, how are all these going to go, Blake?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, good luck trying to figure out some of these games. So I just realized, Christy, like, I think I just tried to put three Big 12 teams in the Final Four here. And I'm not doing this because I'm on the Big 12 podcast, but like, I just realized that. I said, oh, Kansas, Baylor, Texas Tech, maybe. I don't know. Hey, something's going on here. Why do I not have all the SEC teams in here? I don't know what's going on, but
it's just the magic I'm weaving here, Blake.
Clearly. Well, I may try to put an SEC team in this one because, like you said, you've got Arizona at the top and Villanova at the bottom is the 1 and 2. But I just think things set up nicely for Tennessee in terms of especially the first two games. Uh-huh. You know, they play Longwood should win that one. Then they play Colorado State or Michigan. I really like Colorado State, but Michigan I don't love. But I think that Tennessee probably should be able to win both those games to advance. And then, you know, at the bottom, I've seen a couple people talk about maybe Ohio State or Loyola. I tend to believe Villanova will probably figure this out and move on. I like this Villanova team, but, you know, I still think they're one that certainly, I don't know, like they're really good. Don't get me wrong. I think this is one that I may look at and say, all right, I still feel like Tennessee, even though they lost that game they played, that was all the way back like the first week of January, or not January, November. That was a long time ago. So I think I would like Tennessee in the rematch there. I mean, at the top, again, I'm not just saying this because I'm on your podcast, but you remember me talking about TCU last time. Like I was, I've been really impressed with TCU. I said, that's kind of a sneaky team that I think you're not going to want to play in terms of no matter what your seed is. And I mean, we've seen that recently, you know, with the wins against Kansas and Texas Tech. And of course they beat Texas in the conference tournament. So I think Arizona should be fine, but I tell you, as soon as I saw that, I told someone yesterday, as soon as I saw the bracket, I said, if Arizona has to play TCU, that's a tough game for a round of 32. So that is one that, again, if TCU can get past Seton Hall, I think Arizona should be fine, but I told you, I think this TCU team is the way they play defense. I know offensively they can leave a lot to be desired sometimes, but
yeah,
I still think that's not a lovely matchup by any means for a number one seed.
It's not, because TCU is one of those teams that just doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Like you might be shooting well in the beginning of the game and you've built a 12, 15 point lead. And, you know, in college that can be pretty comfortable at times, but this TCU squad does not go away easily. They'll make a run deep in the second half and then you go, oh no, we have to pick up the pace again. So I definitely would not want to face TCU in the second round if I'm Arizona. But and that being said, I do think Arizona would probably be able to out talent TCU, so I would see them going ahead to the Sweet 16, but I don't think it would be an easy second round game for them by any means.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it comes down to Arizona, Tennessee. That's what I would say right now. But yeah. I mean, picking that one's tough, but I mean, Tennessee has beaten them this season, but that was in Knoxville. So why not, Christine? I'll be a SEC
homer. It's okay.
I'll take Tennessee. I've given you two or three at the least. So, you know, I could put TCU in the Final Four and just make this the best appearance ever on the podcast, but I'm not gonna.
No, you
do
can
that.
Keep your integrity. It's okay. You already gave us the three out of the four. We'll let you have another squad in there.
There you
I do
go.
Like
unlike the NCAA tournament committee. I'll keep my integrity on this. So,
yeah, we're not gonna make any arguments here for the NCAA, but I really do like this Tennessee Arizona matchup in the Elite Eight. I think that one would be really, really exciting. And I think that one is probably one of the most unpredictable matchups from a side of the bracket. But I hate to ask you who you would pick, because I know your heart probably wants to say Tennessee. And I'm not saying your mind is going to say Arizona, but this one's really rough to kind of try and predict.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I'm trying to think back, you know, then they played, I think it was as late December sometime. But that was, so I mean, it was a really good game. Yeah. So as I say, it's so long ago now that I'm just thinking, boy, I don't even remember what really happened. But I do remember it was one of those, I think Tennessee got off to a really good start and that helped. And it was kind of Arizona trying to just come back from there. And it was kind of just basically grinding as much as they could to try to get back in that game. And they made it close towards the end, but you know, I'll probably pick Arizona just because I think that, like we said, if you look at Arizona's path, I think, look, because if they get by TCU, which that I would pick TCU to beat Seton Hall. If they get by TCU, I just think Arizona, I think they're way better than Houston or Illinois.
Yeah.
So I just think that's what I look at. Meanwhile, Tennessee, as we said, probably going to run into Villanova again. And by no means is that going to be easy. So that's why I would probably lean Arizona, just because I think they have the better chance to get to that point. So I may go Arizona there. So
okay,
let's go with that until I change my mind in an hour.
So. Seriously, I don't like, I overthink my brackets so much, because at first I have my initial reactions to matchups, and then because obviously I'm sure you do this too. I listen to a ton of podcasts. I listen to basically everyone's opinion, and then I start overthinking everything. Yes. And I'm like, but what if this player does this? And then this player can't do this. Then maybe.
So I do a gut bracket every year. So as soon as the bracket comes out, I just, as soon as it comes out, I take my pen and I fill out everything on the bracket as fast as I can. And then I go back after that and do it.
That's smart. I should start doing that.
Yeah. Like that's, I do that. And everyone's always like, oh, you can only have one bracket. No, this is different. You do one as soon as it comes out and you don't even think about it. Right. But then you dive into it for like what we do. Like we have to talk about it more on podcasts and all this other stuff. So we have to go in and really dive into it, but it's always fun just right away. It's like your gut, just go with your gut. Who's going to win it all and do it that way. So,
Whoever's talking shit about you having multiple brackets is just not doing correct. Here I would have like two or three.
Yes. Why not? I mean, I don't, but who cares about integrity, right? Like we were talking about integrity a second ago, not when it comes to brackets. We're playing for cash here. Come on.
Exactly. So. You want to widen your chances. And I mean, if the NCAA is going to quote, keep their integrity by having terrible matchups that no one agrees with, then why can't we have multiple brackets?
Right. Now, you know what? We had a discussion a minute ago. Let's throw out integrity. Who needs it anymore? Just do what you want. Forget the integrity.
Who cares? Last question, Blake. Who do you think is going to win it all this year?
Oh, boy. The question I was hoping you would not ask. I knew you would, though. This is a tough one. Like, this is a tough one for me because I think, again, I look at some of these teams. I think I would go with Arizona right now. And I know we just had that discussion about Arizona and Tennessee, and I just think the path sets up better for them. And I just think it does. Like, I think it just sets up really nicely for them because look, I think I would probably pick one of those two teams, of course, to come out of there, either Arizona, Tennessee. We talked about Kansas in the Midwest. I think they probably come out of there, but I think you could make the case for Auburn too. But I just, even Gonzaga, I don't know if you're in agreement on this, but we all know this Gonzaga team is not the Gonzaga team of last year. But even still, like I think they're good, but I just don't know if they are to that level that I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. And maybe they're going to win it all and that's it, right? Like we have discussions put to bed. But I just don't know if I'm as strongly leaning on them as other people are. Because like I mentioned to you, I really think Texas Tech, if they can make a run here, I don't love that matchup for Gonzaga if they were to play a team like Texas Tech. You know, and then the East, I'm going to be honest with you. There's no way I can pick anyone in the East to win this thing because I don't know who's coming out of there.
Right.
And so.
Okay, well, let's phrase it this way because I'm also not the biggest believer in Gonzaga this year. I'm sure that they have a chip on their shoulder after literally everyone and their mom and the grandmother said that Gonzaga was going to win and Baylor ended up getting the national championship. I do think they have a chip on their shoulder coming into this season and really wanting to get that win, but I don't know if they have it. So let me ask this question. Let's say the Final Four plays out like we just did, like it's Texas Tech, Baylor, Kansas, and Arizona. How do you see that playing out?
I
know that's
that
a tough
probably,
question, but.
I think, yeah, that is a good one. I really like Arizona, and I know people will probably knock Arizona just because they play in the Pac-12, and I get it. You know, it is one of those things where that's not the first time people have said that before, but I think they're really good. I mean, I think they're so good. And I, even with all those three, you know, Big 12 teams in there, I would probably still take Arizona. Cause I think that Baylor Texas Tech matchup, I'd probably go Baylor, of course, cause I mean, they are the number one seed, but I think I'd have a hard time picking against Arizona. So even though I give the Big 12 all the love by getting them three there, maybe in this scenario, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I'm going to pick against them in the championship. So that's the best I can do.
I don't know if I'm even allowed to say this, but I think in that scenario, I'm picking Arizona too.
Yeah. I mean, I really they're good. Am.
They're
really good.
They're such a good team this year. I feel like I can't, but I guess F integrity, you know, the thing is with Baylor and Texas Tech has beaten Baylor twice this season. And then Baylor couldn't even get the chance for a rematch in the Big 12 tournament because they lost to Oklahoma. So that one is a bit of a question mark for me, although I think everyone says it's the hardest thing ever to beat a team three times. So I think maybe the third time Scott Drew would be able to overcome Mark Adams, even though I'm pulling for Mark Adams so hardcore in this tournament. It's not even a joke.
Well, and that's why I said I think their path, getting matched up with Duke is the two. You said it. I think if you're Mark Adams, you've got to love that. I think that was the best case scenario. To me, they are without question the best team in that bottom eight of the bracket. So then it's just a matter of, hey, could someone knock off Gonzaga? I mean, look, could Memphis has got all the talent in the world. Everyone said it, right? I mean, could Memphis knock off Gonzaga? I'm not saying it's, I don't think it happens, but I don't think it's that crazy to think. So,
I mean, look what's going on with Duke. They have three projected first round picks, possibly even four on their team, and they still can't figure out what they're doing.
Yeah. I think that's going to be one that we could see the Wild West. Let's just put it that way. I think it's going to be the Wild West here. That's maybe we should deem that one. The East, I don't know what to tell you. But the West could be wild. Let's do it that way. So
I think that's what you have to say, Blake. And honestly, I don't know where else we could end it but there. I think that was perfect.
Yes.
Wild West. The Wild Wild West. We'll see what happens. Should be a really interesting tournament, though, as always. Blake, I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your day today to run through all these fun scenarios with me and for somehow saying that three teams from the Big 12 will go ahead and make it to the Final Four. Everyone
go
here will
Big
love
12.
Go Big 12. Go Big 12.
Don't let any of my SEC people hear that. Go Big 12. There you go.
Okay, perfect. Let everyone know where they can find all your work.
Yes, if you want to find all my non-Big 12 work, you could find that our SEC stuff we do. Of course, I do national stuff as well. But the SEC stuff we do is southeastern14.com. We have daily videos going up. We've done it for a couple months now, and you can check out all of our SEC basketball-related videos. Again, national college basketball-related videos are on there too. And, of course, I do all my stuff for the Blue Ribbon Yearbook, which, of course, one of the best resources you can find for college basketball, and they're doing their postseason stuff there. So you can find all that at blueribbonyearbook.com, and everything else, follow me on Twitter at @TheBlakeLevel.
I mean, listen, you said for all of the SEC things, there's two teams from the Big 12 that are about to be in your camp. So everyone should just start, everyone should just start reading up on it soon so that they're ahead.
You're going to have to come to the dark side. We're going to have to combine podcasts here because you're just going to have to bring over. We're going to mesh the SEC and the Big 12 into one big conference. I think that would benefit everyone. So
I am here for a mega conference. Like I'm not against it at all.
We'll see.
Thank you though, Blake. I really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me, Christine.
Huge, huge shout out to Blake Lavelle for coming on this podcast. And I honestly don't know how I got an SEC guy to say that there's going to be three teams from the Big 12 going to the Final Four. But if anyone can do it, I guess it's me, right? But be sure to follow us on Twitter because we will be covering this tournament from top to bottom for you guys this entire month of March and heading into April because we know that it's going to last till then. So be sure to follow us at MW Madness Big 12, at CB on Sports for myself. And be sure to go ahead and get your order from Home Field Apparel because they have so much going on right now. They even have mystery boxes that you can buy three tees for $45. Get combo boxes. Get all the gear you need to support your teams right. Do it right, people. Anyway, that'll do it for us today. We'll have a bigger breakdown coming soon and a breakdown of the women's tournament coming up as well. But until then, we'll catch you guys next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.